Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering training camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Second and 6. Picked off by Anthony Harris of the Vikings. Walked for 4 months. Look at the time for Kelly. Has a man wide open. It's Matt Lacoste. And he can walk all alone into the end zone for the touchdown. Chad Kelly, 36 yards to Matt Lacoste for the score.
Welcome to The Drive, Big Al and D-Mac. My partner D-Mac will be back with us tomorrow. The Big O is here. Orlando Franklin is here. And Orlando, this quarterback position, well, it's been turned on his head because there is no question about who's leading this offense. And that, of course, would be Case Keenum. But on the backup situation, I think it's pretty clear that all chances have been given to our first-round draft pick, our former first-round draft pick, Paxton Lynch, and it hasn't worked out.
Yeah, and I'm happy for them to finally make this move because with Paxton Lynch, he was a first-round pick, so you wanted to give him every opportunity to succeed. And I don't know why they really do that in the NFL. Hey, it's either you could play or you can't. If you can't play, you got to take a seat in the back of the bus, and we got to roll. This bus has to keep on going. But this is his third year. I mean, he was battling Trevor Siemian for his first 2 years to try to get a starting position and wasn't able to acquire that. And now this year, he came in as the second string quarterback, and now we're finally making the switch to a Chad Kelly who has came out each and every day in training camp and has just got it done. I mean, and has looked really good with the threes. Right. Now he deserves that opportunity to try to compete with the twos and have those guys that actually just football IQ is a little bit more better than that three unit.
I tell you, the thing that was overwhelming for me is the intensity of the eyes of Chad Kelly during that game Saturday night. It looked like his eyes were so big and he was so into it that he was looking for the play quickly, trying to get the play to the offense and trying to execute. I mean, it was like
he was a kid in a candy store.
I mean, he was in tune. He was so in tune to what was happening. It felt like the offense was playing at a different level. It was playing at a different pace.
Body language-wise, you saw that offense when Chad Kelly went in there. You saw those guys perk up. You could see like, hey, it's a different player. They were happy when he got in there. And I mean, at that point, you gotta move him to that second string, and you gotta just, hey, Paxton, go to the third string and let's see what you could do with these guys, because hey, these guys are gonna play more harder for Chad Kelly, and they know that Chad Kelly's gonna make these right decisions, these right reads. And that's the biggest thing that I take away from Chad Kelly versus Paxton Lynch. One is out there in his first football game ever, but still the game's not too fast for him.
Right. Maybe his family lineage has something to do with that as well. You know,
it's
being
genetics.
Jim Kelly, his Hall of Fame uncle, has been working with him since he was a young kid.
Yeah.
You know, that has to go a long way with understanding what's supposed to happen. And also in the offseason, Chad Kelly dropping 15, 20 pounds, making sure his body was right. Yeah. It seems like, you know, we were together watching the NFL draft, and on NFL draft night, this guy, Chad Kelly, was with us, me and D-Mac, to watch that first selection. Yep. Certainly, he must have been concerned whether or not
they were going to take a quarterback again in the first round.
That's
because
right.
Because there was a ton of them out there.
I mean, we still had all of those options of guys that were still available at that quarterback position, and the Broncos chose not to execute at that time. And I got to tell you, from a guy who was in the building, watching a guy who's competing for that backup quarterback, hopefully the starting quarterback at some point, he was relieved when the Broncos didn't take a quarterback with that top five pick.
Yeah, because he actually gets a real opportunity now.
Yes.
Last year, you're talking about coming out, he has the knee, he has the wrist, he's hurt. He didn't even have an opportunity. But there's the thing that I love about this kid. You hear stories about him last year being hurt and actually going out there after the workday is over and reading off the script and actually going through his little reads and stuff like that. Slow motion, obviously, because he was nursing all these injuries. But it's just a guy that's a football junkie. And that's what you want at that quarterback position. You want a leader amongst men, which he's proven that because of how the enthusiasm that you see from the other players when he's got in the game. But you also want a football junkie. And I've seen that because I see him day in, day out, early out there before practice, working on his dropbacks, throwing the ball, and then after practice, staying after to work on throwing to these younger receivers.
I'll tell you what, old man, that's a good observation. And on the other side, I'm going to give you one play in particular that both quarterbacks had a chance to execute. It was the most simple play, but it worked out so poorly for Paxton. And you know what? For Chad Kelly.
I already know what play you're talking about.
You know what? It was no big deal. Yeah. We'll talk about that play next here on The Drive.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
In the air. Kenji should have a shot at a return here. Plenty of green in front of him. Hesitates. Now takes off down the sideline. Isaiah McKenzie down the sideline. Has one man to beat. Isaiah McKenzie for the touchdown. A 78-yard punt return for a score. There are no flags. Oh, yeah, baby. Oh, yeah. I can handle that. Can you handle that, Denver Bronco fans? Maybe the offense wasn't smooth. Maybe the defense had some holes. But our special teams was absolutely special. Big Sexy, let that breathe. That feels so right. That feels so right. Now, I gotta ask you something here, O. I gotta ask you something here, man. That did feel right. But we had a couple plays that happened in this game, man, that I said, okay, Paxton is and then, you know what's crazy is that we're going to stop talking about Paxton here real soon. Paxton Lynch will not be
the third string quarterback right now.
We will not be talking about the third string quarterback for much longer.
Yep. Maybe a little bit when it gets to that fourth preseason game, but next two, not at all.
Maybe after the day we won't talk that much about him, but something, you know, I already built my show, so I have these show notes. So we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
One play in particular that I always consider when I am watching preseason is that coaches, offensive coordinators, only give you just a few plays, and they repeat those plays.
Yeah.
And that's just normal. The first team gets them, the second team gets them, the third team gets them.
It's like, remember the Titans. We're only going to run five plays. Give them time, it's going to work.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, maybe it comes out of a different formation, but it's the same plays.
It's the same plays.
We're not game planning, but we're going to give you the same game plan.
Yeah.
And one play in particular that happened for Paxton Lynch that was crazy was – he was given a simple screenplay, man, to his right side. All he had to do was hit the receiver, let the receiver run with the football, give the defensive end the impression that there was going to be some a chance to get a sack, and dump the ball off and let the receivers go to work.
Yeah.
Now, he missed it. And then later, we had Chad Kelly in the same situation. And he completes it. We're talking about a 4-yard pass, but it's the thing called it. It's the nuance of the game, that's missing from Paxton Lynch, and it showed up on something as small as a screenplay. I mean, you can't you can't get the screen. Look at you. I mean, the screenplay should be easy for the quarterback to complete.
Yeah, it should.
It's a little bit of acting job in there, but it should be easy.
You act and you're backpedaling, and you give that you give that impression that that defensive lineman could get a sack, and that offensive line acts like he got beat off the line of the scrimmage. But yeah, that's a big thing that's missing from his game. It's the touch, the lack of touch.
Yes.
He doesn't have any finesse out there in his game.
Good
it's
call.
Either he's going to throw the ball 120 miles an hour and that's it. I mean,
or he's going
to
run.
Or he's going to try to pull it down and run, which is another thing that I don't, he looks to run the ball. Like he, at quarterback position, you cannot do that in this league. I mean, and we're getting away from those type of quarterbacks. I've been a part of a team where we had a quarterback that all we did was run, and it was a nightmare. I mean, Tim Tebow, 2011, yeah, we won a lot of football games, but it's just a nightmare. And every time that quarterback gets hit, you think that they're going to get injured. But here's the issue. If Paxton Lynch is going into, this is his third training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks the exact same as his first training camp. A screen pass is literally, it's all about just finessing. Like, there's nothing about it. You're not throwing the ball hard. You're literally just going to lob the ball up there for your running back to get. And what's so frustrating about it, that ball gets batted down. There's so much real estate in front of that running back if he's able to get the ball to the running back. But he's not able to. And now all of a sudden, we got to punt the ball away.
Third down and five was the play, and it was easily going to be a first down, and it was going to be for my guy Phillip Lindsay, who had wide open space, man. And of course, that
was one thing. He's excited in space. Right? I just saw later on in the game, Chad Kelly. I mean, Phillip Lindsay gets a little swing pass out there to the sideline, and he turns up the field, and there's one guy that tries to tackle him by the sideline, and he literally just sidesteps him and goes and gets another 7 yards. It's a 15-yard gain. So Phillip Lindsay, we know he could make guys miss in space. And for Paxton Lynch to not be able to get the ball, that's just disappointing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's been something that we've had to deal with around here for some time, but I'm looking forward to a transition, man. I know we've been talking about this backup quarterback situation here for the Broncos for some time, but it seems that that situation is not going to be the same going forward. And with that being said, there are just too many things trying to get going around here that's not getting there. And I want it to get there, but it's almost like pulling teeth. It's like pulling teeth to get the Broncos to do the right thing. There is even a GoFundMe page to cut Paxton Lynch because the money's guaranteed.
Yeah.
I mean, I think our Bronco fans out there know that, you know, a GoFundMe page to cut Paxton Lynch is fruitless. But the idea that a fan base is that disappointed with a quarterback, I don't think I've ever been around here when that was the case. Even when we had Tebow, there was so many people that still loved him that you didn't have this going on.
They did put up that that billboard that year in 2011 when we started off the season with Kyle Orton. They did put up that Tim Tebow billboard.
Kyle Orton. They didn't like Kyle Orton.
They didn't like Kyle Orton, and then they were trying to get Tim Tebow in there. But, the issue with Paxton is just – you got to question, does this guy like really love football at the end of the day? And I do not think that he likes football. I was listening to Sandy this past weekend in the post game show, and he said something about a Bronco executive, one of the guys that used to work in the organization, actually came up to him and said, "Hey, Marquette King is more accurate in punting the ball 60, 70 yards down the field than Paxton Lynch is in throwing the ball 15 yards down the field."
That is a huge, huge statement. And Bronco fans, I guess you get what you want. I think we get what we have been witnessing. We get a change at the backup quarterback. Everybody loves the backup quarterbacks because he gives you an option that maybe if things don't work out with the starter, you'll just roll with this guy. But it's done. It's done. The jury has come back with the verdict, and the verdict is guilty. Yeah. Our first-round quarterback cannot play in the NFL. Our training camp 2018 coverage is brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink, the more natural, better sports drink, available on sale now at King Supers. I tell you, those things fly off the shelf around here. We all just love that Body Armor Sports Drink. You're going to love it as well. On the other side, there were so many good things that happened in the second half. I got one player who's really excitable. I'll tell you who it is next.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Alan D-Mac.
Here's third and 11. Lindsay to Kelly's left. Now going to the pattern. And there it is. Phillip Lindsay into the end zone. Touchdown.
And certainly one of the young prospects for this Denver Broncos to make this team is none other than our Colorado Buffalo, Phillip Lindsay, who had an outstanding night. And, of course, I look for that to continue. But he wasn't the only guy. But I'll start with him. Phillip Lindsay, as a ball carrier,
He was average. I think he averaged, what, 3.2 or something like that a carry?
I'm looking at it, he had two carries for seven yards, 3.5. But as a receiver, man,
four
targets, three receptions, 40 yards, 13 yards a reception, and that great touchdown on a great route where he froze a defensive end who was in a man-to-man coverage because of the release of Phillip Lindsay, set him up to go outside with the wiggle, got back inside on the catch, and looked outstanding. He just, you know, you mentioned that little swing pass that he took for 15 yards, but he just looks different.
I mean, he looks really, very comfortable out there.
He looks very different than any other running back that we have on this roster right now.
What I liked the most about that touchdown play is, hey, we all knew that the middle of the field was wide open.
Yeah. I mean, they had an all-out blitz.
Yeah, but Phillip Lindsay runs his route, and he sells the outside route.
He did.
Like he's going to the pylon, to the end zone, and he's able to get back inside. And that's a veteran move right there. This is a guy that was a college undrafted free agent. And, man, oh, man, if he continues to grow, oh, man, the Denver Broncos did a great job. That's a great signing. That's a great finding for them.
And I'll tell you, the other guy that I really loved is a guy that we thought would make this team, and that is none other than Jeff Holland, who had him one sack. He's wearing a funny number right now. He's wearing number 46. But let me tell you something. For the limited amount of snaps that he took to get in there and get one sack out of, I think he had a total of like three rushes.
We already have four pass rushes. Now we're looking at this fifth guy. And I mean, I want to see him continue to come along because although we do not have no trade value in a Paxton Lynch, if a guy like Jeff Holland can continue developing and getting better, hey, now we can go trade a guy like Shane Ray.
Yes, yes.
And now we could actually get some real value and maybe bring in a backup quarterback to back up Case Keenum and just continue to develop Chad Kelly.
Now, I want to ask you about this because something happened in the game, you know, just in further review. I've certainly been one of the strong proponents of seeing great play from this offensive line. And I think when I see Billy Turner, I see somebody who is really, really talented. But he was involved in the play where Paxton got sacked. But Paxton held the football, you know, and he didn't go with the read, and he took the sack. But on the play, what happened was Billy Turner, it was a TE.
Yep.
And what I mean by TE is that it was a pass rush stunt between the defensive tackle and the defensive end. And the guy that I've called the most impressive guy on this offensive line, not named Ron Leary, looked awful on that play. What am I missing? Was it just that one play?
It's a combination of things. So the guy that was in at right tackle, he has to be able to bang it back inside. He has the looper. As an offensive lineman, you're taught to stop the penetrator. And that's what Billy Turner went out there to do.
Okay.
The three technique was the penetrator. So he's stopping the penetrator. But that right tackle needs to bang it back inside and yell out a goal call, at least just to, hey, give Billy Turner that heads up awareness that looper's coming inside. But it's not only the right tackle's fault. because Billy Turner, the way he could have got better right there, he needs to play elongated. He needs to use his hands.
Right, right. Because he was engaged in that guy. He looked like he just wanted to dominate the defensive tackle. But that's not what playing offensive line is about, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the issue. He buried his face mask into him.
Right.
And then he wasn't able to see what was going on, that looper's coming around. Because the right tackle's right there to pick up the three technique.
Right.
It's just Billy Turner needs to play elongated, use his hands, and recognize it. Just have that accelerated vision and know what's going on. And I think it was a third down play. So defensive lines are typically either going to blitz or they're going to run games. That's what comes on third down. I remember when I was here, we break the huddles, third down, I'd be Clady, alert games, alert the game, watch the game. Even before the snap, before seeing what the defense was lined up in, you just got to, the more football you play, and that's what's kind of frustrating, because Billy Turner has played a lot of football.
And he's looked great this entire camp.
Yeah, but you got to see him pass that off. I mean, that was one of his down plays in the game, and it didn't look too good, because a TE stunt, that's a simple stunt. Because if you can't block a TE, people are just going to continue to throw that at you. And it gets harder when they have these three-man games, when it's the two right. D tackles and the D end. And it's like they're running a three-man weave out there. And it's just like, who do I got? Who do I got? I mean, it becomes so much harder.
Right, right. Let me ask you this, you know, because the reason I bring that up is because I've been a proponent of Billy Turner being our right guard on this team, because he's so big. He's so physical. You know, and Connor McGovern can't handle the hard bull rush, but maybe that's just in one-on-one pass rush, and it's different in the game. Could I be right there, or is it?
Yeah, I mean, plus in the game, as an offensive lineman, you have more tools in your box. I mean, for me, if a guy would pass one-on-one in a game, if a guy would bull rush me in a game, hey, I'm cutting you the next play. Mm. If a guy would come out and bull rush me and be successful, I'm immediately the next play. I'm gonna get in my stance and I'm gonna kick back two times and I'm going right for your knees, just to let you know, hey, you better not try to bull rush me again.
Okay.
Or if a guy would try to bull rush me, I would stop the bull and then chop him. So in a game, you're able to change that up.
Gotcha.
And
okay.
Where's Connor McGregor has struggled is while we're watching him in training camp, where he can't cut a Derek Wolfe. Because you can't do that. We don't want our guys to get hurt. We're trying to get him to the season. So, I mean, I think Connor McGregor, he wins that starting position not only just solely on his smarts, his football IQ. He has a really good IQ. I've seen him working at center. And you know that the center is the second quarterback on the team. He has to get everybody lined up and get everybody on the same page on that offensive line. And I've seen him go in there at center for a couple plays, and Matt Parrott has come out, and the offensive line continues to roll seamlessly. So you could tell that he has a above-average football IQ.
And when I'm looking at guys, and I'm glad I have you here, Orlando Franklin sitting in for DMAC today. When I'm looking at guys at practice this week, and we have the Chicago Bears coming in, and I'm really trying to get a good evaluation, what drills matter for you as the offensive lineman, and what drills can I throw? Like, one-on-one pass rush for me for the tackles. I always
thought it was a loaded drill.
Snap count?
It doesn't matter. You're giving a defensive lineman a two-way go, and you're telling them, hey, you're blocked. This guy's blocking you one-on-one. That never happens in a game.
Okay, give me the drills that matter then.
The drills that matter is inside run.
Okay.
Because you want to see your offensive line be physical with that defensive line, and it matters for our defense because you want to see a guy like Von Miller, you want to see Bradley Chubb set the edge. So that matters for the offensive line and defensive line. Inside run definitely matters. And you want to see the team drills where it's just unscripted and you're able to run the ball and just do different plays.
We'll go to the podium, Ron. Vance Joseph.
Well, you know, Chad's played well. He played well in the scrimmage. He played well Saturday night. So he deserves a chance to be the two right now.
So is he going to be a second team guy all week?
Yes.
Into the game?
Yes, he will be.
How did Paxton handle the news?
You know, obviously disappointed, but he understands that it's a performance business, you know, and, you know, he has great potential, you know, physical potential, but it's got to equal performance eventually. You know, he understands that. It's a performance league. You know, and everything we do, it's graded and it's counted. You know, and Chad, it's really more about what Chad's done, honestly. You know, and Chad's played well. He's played with poise. He's played with confidence. You know, he moved the ball for us on Saturday night. So, and it's been that way since the spring. You know, I mean, he had a great spring. He's had a great camp. So, it's his turn to be the two. He's earned that. at right.
What are your expectations for Chad now moving forward?
It's no different. You know, he has to go out and continue to play well, you know, as our number two, you know. It's same with Paxton. You know, I mean, he has to compete and get better as a quarterback, you know. It's not over. Okay, we're still competing, but the depth chart is fluid, you know, and it rewards guys for playing well. You know, it's only right. That's what we live by with our players. If you're playing well and you earn it, you push up and you get it. It's a fair league. It's a fair league.
After watching the tape Saturday, what did you think of that old Yamarch put in kind of slim down?
Yeah. In the slim down role, what do you mean? His body type? His body's fine. He's had a good camp, okay? He missed a couple tackles on Saturday that hurt us in the running game, but he wasn't by himself, okay? And overall, what I saw on tape is, you know, we didn't get off to a great start on both sides of the ball. Offensively, our first five possessions were three and outs and a turnover. Okay, on defense, it was a 17-0 swing in the first five possessions. So, you know, we have to get off to a better start. It happens out here, you know. So that's my point to our football team. You know, we have to start better every day. We play football to start better on game day.
Fans, AJ Johnson's been a long time since he's played football. Yeah. What can you expect from
him? Well, we'll see. You know, it's been 3 years since he's actually played football. You know, he's, you know, at that time 3 years ago, he was a serious prospect. He's got great size. He can run. He's a very, very intelligent player. So we'll see. You know, he's been here for 3 or 4 hours, you know, so we'll see. But he is definitely a great prospect. At the time, he was a combine guy. He was a draftable player. So we'll see.
I know he was acquitted, but what else went into the process to make you guys feel comfortable inside?
Well, again, Nikki, it was a three-year legal battle for this young man, you know, and he was cleared in June. So, you know, he wants to play football. You know, we talked to all of his coaches. My cousin actually coached him at Tennessee. Zach had him here at Tennessee, our receiver coach now. So, you know, everyone spoke highly about the guy. So we'll see. You know, again, he wants to play football. He's been training for 2 years to play football. And he's been here for 4 hours, so we'll see how he fits in.
Would you have any reservations about making Chad the backup for the season, just, you know, in spite of his experience?
Yeah. Right now, he's our backup. You know, and again, you know, your roster is pretty much formed until something happens out there. So right now, Chad's our backup, you know. Now, you know, things change in this league all the time, but right now he's our backup.
Where's it stand at running back after the opener in terms of the depth?
Not much has changed. It's still fluid. You know, guys are still competing. I thought Royce did some really good things. I thought Book did some good things. Two did some really good things. David played well on special teams, you know. Even D'Angelo made some plays, so it's still tight there. It's still fluid, but obviously Book and Royce going to be our lead guys again this Saturday.
Ultimately, from the number two, what would you have to see for Paxton or Chad to convince you that's a guy who could win you a game?
Well, you know, obviously Chad. I mean, Chad's a young player. You know, this is Chad's first time playing ball in 2 years. You know, so we got to be patient with Chad. You know, obviously you want a guy who can go into the game and operate the offense, right, and not beat his own football team, you know, but also have the confidence to make some plays and lead our unit. You know, so far, Chad has done those things. So, you know, he's earned the right to be our two at the moment.
Took a hit with Jamal and Devontae. Is that another reason why DeMarco is?
Well, Jamal is done for this season. He tore his hamstring from the bone, so he's done for the season. He's going to IR. Thomas is probably a week or two away. Okay, so signing DeMarco, obviously because of Jamal is done for the year, we needed a body. But he's also a core teamer. That's been his history in the league. I mean, he's been a core teamer for Pittsburgh and for Buffalo last season. A guy who's physical, a guy who can really run, an experienced guy who's played teams. So that's his main role right now. That was Jamal's main role, to be a backup safety and a core teamer. So he's here to replace Jamal's position right now.
Do you have any update on Smith Ravens this week?
He should be back on the field hopefully this week. You know, again, that we're being smart with, you know, with our guys. You know, it's, you know, I mean, he was really sore last week. He got better. He got sore again. So we just want to be smart for the long haul.
A few more for the coach.
Is that the same with Leary? We thought he might play, and he didn't.
Again, he'll be back tomorrow for sure.
Okay.
So he's gotten better. But again, just being really smart with the guys that we know can play, and for the long haul, it had been for the guys to us, sit out a little bit.
Do you have any word on Gilman? He walked out there towards the end.
I'm not sure.
Vance.
Last one, Sam.
Yes. With Leary being out, you got a long look at Max Garcia.
Yes.
What did you like? What did you know?
Max played well. You know, in fact, our entire offensive line, in my opinion, played well. You know, from last year at this time to this year, in my opinion, we're better at offensive line. And that's huge for our football team. But I've been proud of Max, how he's played the entire training camp. You know, and you need seven guys to, you know, play the season. You know, so I've been proud of Max, how he's played left and right guard for us. And, you know, he's obviously a starting caliber player.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you, guys.
That's Vance Joseph. We're going to take a quick break. We come back and react to some of the words from the head coach of the Denver Broncos.
Covering training camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
You're obviously disappointed, but he understands that it's a performance business, you know, and, you know, he has great potential, you know, physical potential, but it's got to equal performance eventually. You know, he understands that. It's a performance league, you know, and everything we do, it's graded and it's counted. You know, and Chad, it's really more about what Chad's done, honestly. You know, and Chad's played well. He's played with poise. He's played with confidence. You know, he moved the ball for us on Saturday night. So, and it's been that way since the spring. You know, I mean, he had a great spring. He's had a great camp. So it's his turn to be the two. He's earned that right.
Well, we will first bring it to you here from Cecil Lammy. When we saw the Broncos go out to practice today, maybe Chad Kelly feels a little bit like Eminem in 8 Mile. You only get one chance, baby. You only get one chance.
You lose yourself.
And you got to... Tell you what, man. That's a big, big moment for the Kelly family. And I know that is... That's a big, big deal for the Denver Broncos to move away from Paxton Lynch.
Yep.
After last year, having a chance to move away from him within this own training camp, because I do believe, and I thought everybody saw something last year in training camp that we saw again just Saturday night. Kyle Slota was better than Paxton Lynch last year.
Yeah.
So when you see this consistently as a former ball player, and I'm going to ask you, since you are just fresh out of football for the first year, Orlando, and Orlando Franklin sitting in for D-Mac, when you see the depth chart doesn't recognize what's been happening on the field, first of all, have you seen that? And if you have, how did that make you feel?
I mean, yeah, we all have seen that. This training camp with Paxton Lynch.
Well, what about when you were a player? Have you ever seen when a guy got promoted to a position that was only promoted only because of draft status? Or have you been on all teams that were fair? Like Vance Joseph just said, this league is supposed to be fair, and the fairness looked like it's finally hit in year three here in Denver for the quarterback position.
I think I've been on very fair teams. I've never really thought like, hey, this guy doesn't belong out here. This we need to have this guy start. And I mean, we've always had, when I was here, we've always played the best five guys.
Okay.
As an offensive line. And I mean, you had Demaryius Thomas, you had Eric Decker that were here. Those were one and two receivers. And then when Eric left, we went and got Emmanuel Sanders. And it was always kind of clear cut. And then obviously at the quarterback position, you had Peyton. Nobody was taking his spot. And when we were at the running backs, you're talking about Willis McGahee, no Sean Marino. Those guys rolled together. And you need a good running back to kind of change up the pace and stuff like that. So I've never really been around guys that were just out there and shouldn't be out there. I mean, there was one instance that C.J. Anderson, when he was hurt early in his career, I mean, he was always kind of like, hey, I can't wait till I get healthy to get on the field, because once I get on the field, it's my job. And that's exactly what happened. It didn't matter who we had back there. Once CJ got healthy, it didn't matter that he was a free agent or anything. He balled out. He deserved to be in the game. And that's how we rolled. We rolled with him.
Right. Do you feel a little bad about Paxton Lynch?
Not at all.
Being demoted to the third team?
Not at all. This is his third year. I mean, Chad Kelly.
This league is crazy, right? I mean, this league pays you no attention and pays you no mind when you don't do what you're supposed to do.
This league and the NFL stands for not for long, Big Al. And there was always a person that could do your job for less money waiting on the bench for you to screw up. And that's exactly what just happened. Paxton Lynch wasn't doing the right things. He wasn't doing his job. Chad Kelly, continue working at it, getting peanuts compared to what Paxton Lynch is getting paid. And now he has earned the opportunity, has earned the right to be the second string quarterback.
That is, to me, in John Elway's tenure as the general manager for the Denver Broncos, that by far is the boldest move that I've seen to finally go ahead and say, okay, we're moving on.
Yeah, and
I think you need, you know what? Because I think Gary Kubiak started this process by saying, look, we're going with Trevor Siemian. Okay. Yeah. And then Vance Joseph came in last year and said, hey, look, we're going with Trevor Siemian. Listen, man, we went into last season saying that it was the decision, Trevor Siemian or Paxton Lynch. Vance Joseph knew he couldn't play with Paxton Lynch, so he went with Trevor Siemian.
Yeah.
Okay. Now here we are in the third year, and we went and got Case Keenum. I imagine that was an organizational decision. But you can't say with a straight face that if you were John Elway, you like what you just saw, because that was not good. That was not NFL quality football at the quarterback position. And we've seen too many of those games like that. We haven't seen him actually go out and play great.
Yeah.
And to me, it's almost painful to watch this organization go through this, because not that, you know, you missed on a first round quarterback, but it's to me, it's got such long standing implications from when we had Peyton Manning, when we had Brock Osweiler, and when you were around here, that combination was a good combination.
Yep.
And then we went to try to sign Brock. He went into free agency. Boom, we didn't get Brock. You know, we negotiated to try to get Colin Kaepernick that same offseason. We didn't get Colin Kaepernick. We went for the option of drafting a quarterback in the first round, and it was Paxton Lynch. Paxton Lynch can't play in the NFL. 3 years. You see how that one decision not to get Brock Osweiler, 3 years ago,
yeah,
has left us in this situation with a guy occupying a roster spot and the Broncos guaranteeing the money. This has finally come to an end around here in Denver. Is there any trade value available for Paxton Lynch?
There is no trade value. He has not done anything in this league where the Broncos could go and get a pick or a conditional pick for this guy. There is no trade value at this point. You kind of just hope that, hey, he goes out there in these next couple preseason games and he's able to showcase something. And hopefully this has lit a fire underneath him.
That fire should have been lit.
No, listen,
man, when he was going into his second year, at the bare minimum, that fire has got to be absolutely lit, because that was his spot, man. He's talking about multiple millions of dollars that are gone that he doesn't have a chance to make, and all of the things that come with being a starting quarterback is gone out the window.
Yeah.
All because of what? Is it just because can't play, or there's no more fire to be lit?
I'm just speaking on how I would react.
No, man, but you wouldn't have waited till your year three to fire to fall to the third team before a fire would have been lit. Either you got it or you don't.
Yeah, and he's proved time after time that he does not have it. So that's why he's the third string quarterback. And here's the issue, right? I mean, they finally did it. I mean, he was a guy.
Look at you. It hurts you too, huh?
It does hurt, because, you know, I got a lot of respect for John. John drafted me. I mean, he gave me the call. So I love the Broncos. I love the organization. I love how they took a chance on me in 2011. But this is probably going to go down as the worst. Well, it will be the worst pick and the biggest bust not only in the John era, but the John Elway era, but in Bronco history. Because Paxton Lynch will not play. He will not be a starting quarterback ever for the Denver Broncos.
That is an accurate portrayal about what just happened here. It's a little painful for all of us. I know you guys out there with the GoFundMe page of Cut Paxton Lynch. You can pull it down now. It's basically been done. Paxton Lynch has been pushed to the third team, and Vance Joseph said something that was crazy just now. He said that we want our quarterbacks not to beat ourselves, meaning Paxton, when he was in the game.
There's no production.
Yeah, he's
beating.
There's
only hurting our team.
Yeah, he's doing nothing but hurting our team.
Yep.
Now, he didn't call him out by name, but when you make a statement like that, that's what's going on. I cannot believe it. A big boy move has happened here in Denver, Colorado. Paxton Lynch has been demoted for the first time, really, in his NFL career to third team. Yeah. Stink mail saw it coming.
Mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Vance Joseph, you've got some decisions to make. And I don't take this lightly. I mean, this is serious. It's 3 years in now with Paxton Lynch. And the issue that you get into as a head coach, and I always talk about guys, are you appointed or are you empowered? And you've got a decision to make, because after 3 years, your first-round draft choice still doesn't look as though your first-round draft choice gets it. And I get that it wasn't your first-round draft choice. Paxton was here. You inherited him, but you cannot continue to run that guy out. You try to make him a first-teamer last year, you get beat out by a seventh-rounder. You're trying to make him a second-teamer this year, and right now he's currently being beat on a daily basis by another seventh-rounder who had a redshirt year last year in Chad Kelly. So at some point, if you continue to roll that guy out, your players in your own locker room are going to look at you and say, our head coach is not empowered. So it's time. This game is the ultimate meritocracy. That first-round draft choice only gets you so much, only buys you so much time before you have to perform. And that is now. The time is now to elevate Chad Kelly. Now, maybe it's more of an elevating Chad Kelly over Paxton Lynch because he's earned it. So when you go out to practice, I think it's time that that Paxton Lynch puts his, I guess he puts his cleats on the 13 grass. How about that?
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.